All right. Our next presentation this morning will be from Camden Shelton from Virginia Tech, and he'll be talking to us today about optimizing ferrous sulfate performance for dollar spot suppression.
Thank you, Dr. Kearns, for the introduction, and good morning, everyone. My name is Camden Shelton, and I'm a graduate research assistant at Virginia Tech under Dr. David McCall. And today I'll be talking to you about some of my master's thesis research and kind of the direction we've gone since the last meeting where I presented some of our first results. So first off, it's important to know what dollar spot is. Dollar spot is caused by the fungal pathogen Sclerotinia homeocarpa. It can impact many hosts, both C3 and C4 turf grasses, which are used all throughout the turf industry. There are many development factors or environmental factors that impact the development, whether it be nighttime temperatures, dew presence, nitrogen availability, things along those lines. There are many control options available, whether it be fungicides or cultural practices, such as dew removal. There's also, turf breeders have done a great job over the last decade creating many tolerant turf type bent grasses and perennial ryegrasses that are able to prevent as much disease from attacking the plants. There are also symptoms which are important to understand, so this picture does a good job showing what your typical dollar spot symptoms will look like. You have the cottony web-like mycelium, which you can see there, and these are typically about the size of a half dollar, and those half dollar patches or spots are considered an infection center. As you get more and more infection centers over a given area, you can have what is called a widespread epidemic. So what do we already know about the iron sulfate Sclerotinia homeocarpa relationship? So first off, we have learned that iron sulfate has a direct fungitoxic effect on the dollar spot pathogen. This illustration here that we did in 2012 does a good job showing this. You can see this is quarter strength potato dextrose auger, which we have inoculated and concentrated with iron, inoculated with dollar spot, concentrated with iron. As you go from 0 to 10, there's actually an increase in growth, but as you get to 100 and especially 1,000, you can see the iron sulfate that's concentrated in those petri dishes actually completely inhibits the growth of that pathogen. So the second thing that we've learned is that you can actually reduce the amount of fungicide active ingredient that you need to control the same amount of disease. This picture here does a good job illustrating this. This is a 4.57 kilogram per hectare rate of chlorothalonil. This equates to 2 fluid ounces per thousand, which we would not expect to do a good job controlling dollar spot. And you can see how much disease pressure and disease incidence there actually is in that plot. If you move to the picture to the right, this is the exact same amount of chlorothalonil applied on the exact same 14-day interval, but we've added 1 pound or 48.8 kilograms per hectare of ferrous sulfate in with that chlorothalonil, and you can see how much more control you get just by simply adding the iron. So thirdly, you see we've learned that you can actually increase the longevity required, or the longevity that you can obtain using chlorothalonil. So you can increase the interval of the application, or increase the interval between fungicide applications. This bar graph, which I showed last year at this meeting, does a good job of illustrating this. The blue line on the top is plots that have no ferrous sulfate, or treatment that has no ferrous sulfate. The orange line on the bottom is the treatment that has been, or that has had, a 1 pound per 1,000 square feet rate of ferrous sulfate applied. And on the x-axis, we have the different rating dates in which I acquired this data. And on the y-axis, you have the number of infection centers per plot. So for this experiment, what I did was I took, and every time I rated, if any of these treatments were above 30 infection centers per plot, I would go out and apply 3.6 fluid ounce rate of chlorothalonil. So those blue stars and the yellow stars at the bottom represent, for each of those treatments, how many applications of chlorothalonil I had to make to keep that disease pressure below 30 infection centers across that 6 by 6 foot plot. So at the top, which is the non-iron treated treatment, we had to make a total of 6 applications. But there at the bottom, you see for the iron treated, we only had to make a total of 4 applications. So if you take the average across those days, there's about a 5-day difference or a 5-day extension of the control just by adding the iron in. So with that, what do we still need to learn about using iron to control dollar spot? So first, we've only tested the same spray volumes, whether it be a 2 gallon per thousand rate for putting greens or a 1 gallon per thousand rate for fairways. So we need to determine if there's an optimal spray volume. Secondly, we need to learn if nozzles or droplet size has any type of impact on the amount of control we may achieve when using ferrous sulfate. Third, we're not sure what long-term effects that iron could have on the soil, the turf plants, or the microbes surrounding these turf plants. So we're doing repeat applications, and we're not sure if that could cause layering or cause the turf to decline over, you know, 5 or 10 years of applications. And finally, we think we may have an idea of how iron is preventing the dollar spot or preventing the dollar spot from attacking or inhibiting the dollar spot mycelium from growing, but we need to get in the lab and determine really how, what its mode of action is. How is it killing this pathogen? For this presentation, however, I will only focus on optimal spray volume and optimal nozzle selection. So my first research objective was to determine the optimal spray volume to maximize our dollar spot suppression with using ferrous sulfate. My second objective that I will talk about in this presentation is to compare some of the common turf nozzles. In this presentation, will be 4 common turf nozzles to see how they may affect dollar spot control with ferrous sulfate. So for the first objective, we did this research or carried this research out on a Pin A4 creeping bed grass putting green at the Virginia Tech Turf Grass Research Center. Our mowing height was 3.175 millimeters. This equates in standard units to 1/8 of an inch, which is a common mowing height for putting greens. Our plot size was 3.2 meters square, or a 6-foot by 6-foot plot. All our treatments for this first objective were applied on a 14-day interval, and we used the TTI 110-04 nozzle for these treatments. We used the same ferrous sulfate product that we used for all other experiments, which is a ferrous sulfate heptahydrate, which is approximately 20% iron. We set this experiment up as a randomized complete block design with 4 replications, and when moving on, when you look at the treatment list, first it's important to note the rate. The rate of iron we used for these experiments was 24.4 kilograms per hectare, which equates to 0.5 pound per thousand square feet. But more importantly, from the treatment list, you need to look at the volumes that we used as our carrier for this iron. So we had 4 different volumes, 281 all the way up to 1683 liters per hectare. These equate to standard rates or rates we would use in the field of 30, 45, 90, and 180 gallons per acre. So our results for our first objective. On the x-axis, you have your application volume, which again I've just described, and then on the y-axis, you have an area under disease progress curve of the dollar spot infection center counts. So every 7 days, I would go out to this trial and rate individually or count individually how many dollar spot infection centers there were per plot. We decided to use the area under disease progress curve because that's a quantitative measurement of disease progression over a given period of time. So basically all the dates between my rating dates and for the entire from the time I started rating to the time I finished rating at the end of the trial. We did analysis of variance and mean separation on these AUDPC values, and what we have determined is, as you can see, there was a difference between all treated plots and the untreated, but among the 4 different volumes tested, there was no statistical separation. So each of these different volumes had some control, and they were equally the same or statistically the same amount of control. And these are just some pictures to kind of back this up. You can see we had a fair amount of disease pressure, but if you look at these pictures, there's a very similar or the same amount of dollar spot essentially in each of these plots. And I decided not to show the untreated. It had a lot more, but just so these pictures could be a little bigger and more visible for you guys. So for my second objective, this was again on a Pin A4 keeping bent grass putting green. Our mowing height was kept the same as the first objective. Our plot size was kept the same as the first objective. One thing that was different here was we held our application volume constant since we were testing our nozzles here. This is 421 liters per hectare or 90 gallons per acre. Again, these were treated on a 14-day interval, and we used the same ferrous sulfate product. Again, we also used a randomized complete block design, and we had 4 replications. In our treatment list here, you can see the rate of ferrous sulfate on the right there is the same as we used in the other trial, 24.4 kilogram per hectare rate. But we had four different T-jet nozzles that we used for the experiment. So going into a little more details about these nozzles, these are actual pictures of the four nozzles we used. On the top left, you have a 1/4 turbo turf jet, 04. And this is a typical nozzle a turf manager would use for putting out fertilizer applications or something where he needs larger droplets. You can see those are ultra-coarse droplets, and that's according to T-Jet. The second nozzle at the bottom is the XR11004. This nozzle is very similar to the flat fan nozzles that were used in the turf industry for many, many years, except the XR stands for extended range, which means you can actually operate that nozzle at slightly lower and slightly higher pressures. The next nozzle at the top is an air-inducted turbo twin jet, and you can see how it got that name. It has two orifices where the product can come out, and these actually produce a very coarse, so slightly smaller droplet size, according to T-Jet, than the turbo turf jet. And finally, the TTI, which is what we do a lot of our research with at Virginia Tech. This is also an air-inducted nozzle. These are fairly new to the market, but these also produce an ultra-coarse droplet just like the turbo turf jet. All of these had a 110 degree spray angle. Our boom spacing on our nozzles was set up at 18 inches, which means I held the boom approximately 18 inches above the highest leaf in the turf canopy. They all put out, they were all red, which T-Jet uses to distinguish what their output is, which was 1.54 liters per minute or 0.4 gallons per minute is what the red stands for. And that is at 40 or 279.79 PSI. So this is just a demo I did at our field day to kind of show what these different nozzles do. I think this is a really good illustration of how the droplet sizes vary among these different nozzles. You can see in the top left, this is the turbo turf jet, which I said had a pretty large droplet size or ultra coarse according to T-Jet. Moving to the right, this is the other ultra-coarse nozzle that we used, which was the TTI. You can see there's slightly more coverage. Before I get any further, I guess I should mention these water-sensitive paper sheets were yellow before we sprayed them, and then as the water lands on them, they turn to this purple or blue color. So moving down to the bottom, you have the XR, which I mentioned was similar to the flat fan, and you can see how much coverage you have with that nozzle. And then in the bottom right, you have the turbo turf jet, which actually covers the most out of all the four nozzles we tested based on this little representation. So our results for this study, again, on the x-axis, you have the different nozzles we tested. And then on the y-axis, you have, again, the area under disease progress curve for the dollar spot infection center count data, and then a standardized area under disease progress curve for the turf quality data that we obtained. So if you look at the data we have here in the light blue, this is of the infection center counts. You can see that the two nozzles, the one on the very end and both in the middle, are those two with the finer droplets. And they actually, based on the analysis of variance and the mean separation, provided statistically better control of dollar spot when using ferrous sulfate. Now the other two nozzles did have better control than the untreated, but they were statistically different than the nozzles with the finer droplets. And I just put the turf quality up here because you can see a correlation between that. As you get more dollar spot infection centers, you would expect your turf quality to decrease, which is what we saw here. So the two nozzles that provided the best control also provided the highest quality. And just a few pictures here. The top two pictures are the ones with the least control, which you can see some of the pits from the dollar spot, and a lot more disease pressure there or disease incidence there than you do in the two finer nozzles. So our conclusions, for our first objective, we did not see any difference between the four application volumes that we tested, so I did not expect to see any differences among volumes that you would use within those ranges that I tested. For the second objective, we learned that nozzles that produce a finer droplet, thus having a greater coverage of that plot, would actually provide better control of dollar spot when using ferrous sulfate. In future research, this research was only carried out this past summer in 2017, so we need to do one more year to repeat and confirm what we saw this year, we see again next year. And again, I talked about these at the beginning, but we need to dig into the long-term effects, and this is going to take more time than anything just to see. We've been applying iron to these same plots over the past 3 or 4 years, so we need to see in the next 5 or 6 years what kind of long-term impact it may have on the soil, the plants, and the microbes. And then finally, we need to get in the lab this winter, hopefully, and determine what the mode of action is, how it's preventing the mycelium from growing. What is the iron doing? How is it altering the dollar spot pathogen? So with that, I'd like to thank my committee members and lab mates, and if we have time, I'll take any questions.
I think we'll hold the question until the break. Thank you.